Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is Tuesday, the 19th of January. Very nice to have you with us. A day after a holiday, a lot of people coming back to work. After a three-day weekend, a lot of people who are coming after work after working yesterday. It's very nice to have you all with us. And and the hands go up in the room. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we can get started and get involved in the conversation. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. He's very furry this morning.
Hello, I have my furry hat on, and I have my earphones so I can hear the music on over my
furry hat. It's very
very Alaskan.
I was going to say
frontier.
With the hat, you can't really tell that he's wearing the earphones.
No,
is that right?
Yeah.
It looks like it's part of the contraption.
Yeah, it looks like part of the
hat. It's like a beaver is sitting on your head, actually.
Did you say sitting?
Yes, sitting
on your head.
Sitting. Popular or proper elocution. All right. Good morning, and nice to have you and your hat here.
Thank you very much. My hat and I thank you.
He had a hat. Mike Spain is with us. Good morning, Mike. He's the associate editor of the Times Union newspaper.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here, as always. And Libby Post, Libby, thank you very much for being
You're
here.
You're so welcome.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Why does she get a very when the rest
because,
of us?
Because as of last night at 9 o'clock, I had sent out about 9 letters to people because Rosemary couldn't be with us today because she is having some follow-up doctor's appointment for her recent surgery and was unable to be with us, so which we knew. And we were sending out invitations, and I sent out a lot of invitations, and nobody could do it. And Libby had told me earlier in the day that she had an obligation and was unable to do it.
Well, what if everybody had said they could do it?
Well, then I do it one. I do it sequentially.
One at a time.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I get it.
You go through.
Because that's happened to me where I invite more than one. You know.
So, and then at the end of the day, I just wrote Libby and I said,
can you redo
your schedule? And she said yes, and that was very nice of her. So I thank her very much for that. All right. Because Ray is off today, so we got a lot going on. So anyway, it's very nice to have you all here, and we'll have a great panel with a great discussion. Let's begin with what is making news today. A lot of interesting stories, like nothing, I don't know. There's not the, like that big, big story, but there's some really fascinating stories, I think, out there that I want to talk about. First of all, let's begin with Donald Trump at Liberty University yesterday, and what's going on there. Donald Trump spoke at Liberty University, and I don't know. Things didn't go great, but it's hard to say in this campaign because even when he seems to do something, how do the kids say it, dumb, it doesn't really matter, right? So there's that. But in and of itself, it is an interesting story because according to the latest polls, that evangelicals see Donald Trump as a man of conviction, if not faith.
That's amazing. When you say to people, okay, here are the criteria. He's been married 3 times. He's this, he's that. And they say, and they all say, yeah, that's true, but we think he's a good Christian man. They say what they want to say. You know what I mean? Don't convince me with the evidence.
Their commitment to their, as far as I'm concerned, this is a shallow response. Their commitment to their faith goes only as far as who will be the best for their politics. And it's disgusting that these people would call this man and hold him up as a Christian who he has not walked any of the walks around this issue.
Could you make your microphone more erect? Thank you very much.
Oh, well, Joe, I never thought you'd ask.
Excellent. Okay, couldn't hear you there.
Goes along All with right. Alan's hat.
So here's the line in the New York Times this morning. Brash, thrice married, cosseted in a gilded tower high above Fifth Avenue and fond of swearing from the stage at his rallies, Mr. Trump, who has spent his career in pursuit and praise of wealth, would seem an odd fit for voters who place greater value on faith, hope, and charity.
Actually, what really made me sit up and look yesterday was Obama on NBC talking about Trump and basically saying other people in history. Now, how many times have you heard me say that? Other people in history have tried to, you know, do this kind of thing that he's doing with the Muslims right now. And boy, I had no question as to what he was talking about. He was talking about the Holocaust.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
making reference. The Liberty University and the late Jerry Falwell, the founder of that college in Virginia, famously endorsed Ronald Reagan. And they, in 1980, they chose Ronald Reagan, a Hollywood divorcee who was a flashy guy from the material world, so to speak, over Jimmy Carter, who was a Sunday school teacher and a Baptist and a professed Christian, because they agreed with Ronald Reagan's policies. Let's face it, they're a political organization, and they're going to support a candidate that will promulgate what they want. And yesterday, Trump was playing up to them. He was saying, you know, referencing Christmas a lot, because that is a button to touch with people who are offended by Happy Holidays and the war against Christmas, the Bill Riley perceived war against Christmas.
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly, right?
Yeah, I just thought I'd...
Yes, right.
I apologize
for misnaming the talk show host on Fox. Anyway, it is political. You're right, Libby. You're exactly right. This is not about promulgating Christian values specifically. It's about promulgating a political position that does support their values.
What they
which
consider
they
to be Christian.
Regard as right. Christian values. And, right. and that's interpretive. There's people who interpret it much differently. Mm-hmm. They take a whole different stance on issues in society and regard themselves as devout Christians. So this particular, you know, thread of Christianity is being very pragmatic and throwing their weight behind who they think will get
well,
them what they
just
want.
For the, just to clarify, this is the exact quote from Liberty University. I hear this is a major theme right here, but 2 Corinthians 3:17, that's the whole ball game, Trump told the arena of students. You know, when you think, and that's really, is that the one? Is that the one you like? I think that's the one you like because I loved it.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians.
Walk into a bar.
Right.
No, but the thing about Christianity that has always appealed to me and that he may be in luck with is that it's never too late to turn it all around. So in other words,
people like conversion.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
Right.
Yeah. So
am I right? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Am I right? Is it a Corinthians or isn't
right,
it?
Right. Right.
You know, it's so great that some speechwriter puts something in front of him and says, "Quote Corinthians."
I know somebody.
Is that the one? Is that the one?
Whose father was a Presbyterian minister, and he winces when Ronald Reagan says, "I'm a evangelical Presbyterian." It sounds like an oxymoron.
Right. Right. They're only evangelical Lutherans. But anyway, you know, what's interesting here is that clearly this is just about power, personality, brashness, a faith that's, you know, you can just scratch them with a dime and there's nothing there. Because you have Ted Cruz. You've got Mike Huckabee.
Huckabee's a minister, for goodness
sake. Right. You've got these other people. Yeah. Right. You've got these other people who have real bona fides in this radical Christian right movement, and they're not getting any traction. You know, and Trump is, because he is the front runner and he is speaking to their ignorance and their xenophobia.
According to the New York Times CBS poll that was issued last week, Mr. Trump, a Presbyterian, dominated the field with 42% of evangelical voters. Mr. Cruz, a distant second at 25%.
That's a really interesting survey. Mm-hmm. What is it about Ted Cruz who invokes his Christianity pretty much consistently, that does not appeal to the evangelicals.
I have a guess.
What's that?
My guess is that they see Trump as approachable. In other words, they see he's their kind of person, where Cruz, the Harvard-educated Cruz, is more distant. They can't have a common bond with a Cruz that they have with a Trump, who they like from TV, as we say in the business,
right.
And who they know is a star, and they like him, and he likes me, I like him.
And they say he says things that they've been thinking, and you shouldn't be saying, like, stop the Muslims from coming in.
Like, everybody, you know, PC.
Right, right. Right. You know, he is marginalizing.
You should remember that Bernie Sanders did go to Liberty University about 3 months ago.
I remember that.
And he was respectively, you know, they treated
warmly
him with respect,
received.
Warmly received. And he talked about a lot of the things that they would want and that he would want. So there is going to be differences, you know, between people politically and even their faith. He's Jewish. But they can find common ground and, you know— That's going to happen with any constituency.
Of course, you mentioned this. Liberty University was founded by the late Reverend Jerry Falwell and is now run by Jerry Falwell Jr. Mr. Falwell lavished praise on Trump, comparing him to Jesus and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Which is such an insult.
For voicing unpopular thoughts.
I just want you to know, Joe, this is good enough to read, okay?
Okay.
Brian wrote us and said, Trump Palin in 16... And then he said, I'm moving to Ted Cruz's hometown in Canada.
I'm joining you.
That is good.
What's interesting about this article is that they did talk to some younger people and some other folks, and not everybody loved him. There were people, especially some of the younger folks, who thought that his rhetoric was too inflammatory and not what America is all about, which was refreshing to hear.
Years ago, Jerry Falwell was speaking down at the state capitol at the LOB, and I went down and I had an interview with him. And they brought me into sort of the bowels of the egg in those conference rooms in the mm-hmm. back there. And you feel like you're in prison. And
No windows.
Right. And you go back into there, and I walked in, and there was Jerry Falwell with his Bible sitting on a couch. And I said, hi, I'm Joe Donahue from WAMC, Northeast Public Radio. And he said, ah, public radio, a bastion of Christian values. And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, one moment. I must pray before I speak of the likes to the likes of you.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
Yeah. And he,
that's got to rank right up there with all these things. Yeah.
And he laughed. And then he prayed. And then we did our interview.
And, did he and hold then, your hand when and, he was?
No.
No.
No. Oh, no.
No, he probably thought you were gay, man.
It was a pragmatic political action when he endorsed Ronald Reagan in 1980, and yesterday's near endorsement from his son was pretty much the same thing. They're just positioning themselves for influence during and after the election.
I don't know. Jill wrote to us and said, I have no love at all for Donald Trump. In fact, I hate the clown. However, I will say that there are many Christians who do not live pristine lives, like married more than once. We all have short of the glory of God. It's about what Christians believe in their souls and their belief in Christ and what Christ does in their lives. I'm not going to hold multiple marriages against him. Everything else he stands for, however, ..
Well, I think that's also the point made by the comment I read earlier, or the paragraph in the New York Times of you're looking at someone who is very much motivated by money mm-hmm. and the sale, and perhaps different than the values that many of us are taught of Jesus.
Greed. He's motivated by greed, and that's the polar opposite.
I know you could say that about anybody. We've heard from Cody, who we hear from every once in a while. I can understand why Donald Trump would go to Liberty University, but why would any sane candidate such as Bernie Sanders go? The founder of this university, in quotes, said, quote, AIDS was a punishment from God, mm-hmm. and 9/11 was a punishment on the U.S. for our sinful nature. How is it possible to engage in a sect of society that is so delusional and divorced from reality? Well, the answer is everybody wants to win.
Well, and Liberty University is one of the stops on the campaign trail. Right. They invite every candidate, and most attend. Hillary Clinton has not yet. But most candidates do attend and have an event there, and with varying degrees of success. So I think that it's one of those places that you are sort of expect, like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, or the Cardinals dinner. The Cardinal
That's
New York
right.
place
yeah,
has
right.
a dinner right,
right
before where
right.
the two leading candidates come in tuxedos. I mean, it's just one of the constituencies.
I wonder if Hillary's going to wear a tuxedo.
So we heard from Harold, who said, another conversation about Donald Trump. Perhaps one day your panel can have a discussion about how terribly long and arduous American presidential campaigns are. Harold,
I believe we wrote that letter yesterday.
Do you have any idea how many times we have had such a discussion over time, people get exhausted and different and end up not voting. It's our fault, in other words. Interesting that Canada recently elated, I mean, I think it means elated.
Well, elected.
Elected, probably.
Elected, yeah. Prime minister after a brief.
Although there was some elation.
Yeah, okay. I always love it when somebody says, you never do, and we do it all the time. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more?
Yeah.
Okay. John said, hi, Alan. I was listening to you on my way to work when you were speaking about Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, in my opinion, is a dangerous man. He's becoming the Hitler of our times with his rhetoric. Picking on race or religion is the beginning of the new Holocaust. Mr. Trump must be stopped, or God protect our country. He was the elected president, or der Führer. Well, as I just mentioned, mm-hmm. I really do think that that's what Obama was saying.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, he really is using Hitlerian rhetoric. There's no two ways about it.
And Donna says, nope. Evangelicals like Trump, BC Trump, appeals to less educated, brainwashed non-thinkers. Cruz is too smart for them, misguided, but smarter. And that's from Donna from Saratoga Springs.
And we are out of time.
Okay.
But let us take a break, and we will be back, and we'll continue our conversation. We have many other topics to discuss. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Shartok, Mike Spain, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org or on our website, WAMC.org. We will continue our conversation after this news break from the BBC. All right, you can stop writing. Everybody's calling. They're asking, how much is in the lockbox? Well, I have the answer right here. I hold it in my hand. I have the official total in the lockbox. It's $378,728.71.
Now, listen, this is really important. I know there's kidding around time, but this is giving me a little agita. Because we need $500,000. We need it by the end of what, next week?
By the end of next week. We have until February 2nd, so we have the remainder of this week and all of next week.
You sure it's not February 1st?
February 1st is exactly when it is.
Oh. Oh, okay.
We have until February 1st.
Yeah, okay. So that was good. So
yeah, 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Monday morning, February 1st.
But don't do this because there's $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation. Look, folks, this is real money. So anybody can do anything. And I don't want anybody coming up to me in the street and saying, I don't like the fund drives because, you know, and then I always turn around to them and say, well, did you put anything in the lockbox?
Are you clearing your throat?
No, that's
commentary. News and commentary.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So for a $100 pledge, you can get a lovely tote bag like the one that is hanging behind me, which you can't see, but the panel can. It is a gorgeous shopping tote. It is made out of recycled bottles. Plastic bottles, and it is white. It has WAMC Northeast Public Radio, and then on the other side there is an image of the actual lockbox. There is a real lockbox with the lock. Yes, the panelists go by it each and every morning when they
come
in.
I can testify to that. I've seen it.
Yes.
And by the way, Joe, this is not just a tote because a tote is. I hate to argue with you, but it's somewhat dismissive to say tote. This is a gigantium. That's what this is.
A gigantium?
Yes. Hmm. This is so big.
I had that removed once. You could put gigantium? Yeah.
You could put half of the, you know, Atlantic Ocean in this
That is gigantium.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
It's great to bring along to the
grocery store. You could put cabbage like celery, right.
You could
or the
put
ocean.
You could have put every bit of cabbage in the Big Y in there. You could.
I'm sorry. I just had to turn around and look and see if it had grown.
How big is it?
Yeah.
You could fit an entire cow in that thing.
Well, it depends on how it's processed.
And is that only available to the people who give prior
to
the beginning?
Well,
yes.
Well said, Michael.
Thank you for bringing us back to the point.
Nice, Michael. Nice.
So, you know, hey, we're almost to 120 to go. We need to make $122,000 right now before February 1st.
And if we get the 20 today.
There you go.
Once we break that 100,000 mark, you go, whoosh! That's a whoosh moment.
That is a whoosh moment?
That'd be on my whoosh list.
Nice. Thank you, Mike. $25,000 riding on this, so we trust you. We know it'll happen. You only have a matter of days, so let's get it done. WAMC.org. That is how you help the Lockbox. WAMC.org.
And don't be talking to me on the street and tell me you don't like the fund drives. And then when I say, did you put anything in the Lockbox? You don't want that.
No. Monosyllabic.
That would be wrong.
All right, let's go to other topics. Michael, will you please tell us about the race that is heating up in the 19th Congressional District in the state of New York?
Yeah, our state editor, Casey Seiler, has a story about how Zephyr Teachout, who has not declared candidacy for this race, is received a major boost. A majority of the Democratic county leaders in this sprawling 11-county 19th district. And that's the seat, of course, that's currently held by Chris Gibson, a Republican who is not seeking a fourth term. He's thinking about running for governor. Anyway, these Democratic leaders, a majority of them, have endorsed Zephyr Teachout. She's a Fordham law professor, and she's an author, and she is a 2014 gubernatorial candidate who challenged Governor Andrew Cuomo, famously, and got a lot of attention, but did not succeed in unseating him and getting the party's nomination. Nonetheless, she seems to be in the limelight. She has taken a home in Dutchess County recently, which puts her into the district. Some people may accuse her of being a carpetbagger. That happened to Sean Eldridge, the last person to run against Chris Gibson. Eldridge is the husband of the founder of Facebook is Chris very Hayes. Wealthy. Yeah, right. And he's wealthy, but it didn't matter. Chris Gibson dispatched him easily in the district that he won easy re-election. Anyway, but you do remember back in 2014 the angst between the liberals in the Democratic Party and the Workers' Family Party, who wanted Teachout to be their candidate. In fact, she was on track to get the Workers' Family Party nomination, and then suddenly it was wrested away by Governor Cuomo in a
deal brokered by Bill de Blasio.
Can you imagine?
And look how well that's worked out for him.
Can you imagine?
Right, and that just opens it up more. Anyway, so Teachout is considering making this run, and this is the whole Mid-Hudson Valley area. It contains part of the Capital Region, Dutchess, Montgomery, it goes all over. It's not as big as it once was, but Columbia, Delaware, Greene, Otsego, Schoharie, Sullivan, Ulster, and Dutchess, Montgomery, and Rensselaer, parts of Rensselaer. It's really a huge district geographically, and people will be watching it closely. Of course, in the Republican side, there's a couple of businessmen who have said they're interested in running, and also former assemblyman and former gubernatorial candidate John Fazio of Kinderhook seems to be getting a lot of attention as the Republican candidate, the announced Republican candidate. He is seeking that nomination. So it would be an interesting race if it were Teachout against Fazio. Both of them would be unsuccessful gubernatorial candidates. Casey
well, Fazio. Yeah. One, of course, was a major. Major
right. He lost, he lost a major to Elliot Spitzer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Year he should have run for comptroller.
Well, the thing about John Fazio, and I know him quite well, and I was talking to him on the phone just yesterday, is that he is a Republican. In other words, I think the one thing about Chris Gibson is that he appealed. I meet Democrats all the time who love Chris Gibson because he does not take that sort of partisan tone that you would find in the Republicans in the Congress. I know that John has, on occasion, distinguished himself from all of those folks. But I think what you would expect is that he would run a campaign that would be, anti-Obama, anti-Obamacare, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a lot of people have respect for Chris Gibson because of his demeanor and because he's reasonable, even if they don't agree with all of his political positions. And, Alan, do you think that he has a strong chance of winning the Republican nomination to challenge the Democrat if it were to be Andrew Cuomo in 2018 or anybody else who might
Well, know? Let me announce my prejudice. I love Chris Gibson. I think he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. While others don't agree with me, too bad. But I like him a lot. I think his demeanor especially for a Republican, as my mom used to say, the best of that crowd, is great. But I think he's got a real problem in running against the guy from, you know,
Westchester County.
Because when I talk to the heads of the party, I get the feeling that's who they want. And he's apparently raised some more money. I don't think he's going to make a lot of impression on the Democrats. I think right now, if Andrew Cuomo runs for a third term, he will probably win.
Well, Rob Astorino, the Westchester County executive, made a lot of friends when he challenged Cuomo 2 years ago, but he didn't do very well. I don't know how he would. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of Republicans looking for a new face. And
right.
Gibson will have left Congress for a whole year. He will have chance to. He's already making friends around the state.
He is.
And building a coalition. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very interesting election year. And we don't even know if Cuomo's going to seek another term.
No, he's seeking another term.
Okay. I didn't hear that announcement, but that's okay.
Well, you know, he's raising money. He's got more money.
He's raising money. He's got an ambitious
And he's
program.
Making nice with the teachers. And he's bringing back the people who he really got angry.
Well, not that I have not said this 1,000 times, but if he really wants to convince us this is the new Andrew and not the old Andrew, he'll stop bullying, you know, the mayor of New York City. I mean, it's de Blasio. It's crazy.
It's counterproductive.
Well, yeah. I know people who work for him who say the same thing, by the way, that we don't get it. I have not gotten, unless there's something we just don't know about, that was going on.
He may be doing that. Yesterday, he made a point to say that he saw that he could work very well mm-hmm. on the homeless issue with Mayor de Blasio and didn't see a problem there, and he thought it would work out very well for everybody. He seems to be taking a softer tone now there, maybe recognizing that it was counterproductive to have this animosity, this public animosity with the mayor.
Well, it's taken him a long time, Mike, if that's the case. I guess it's no secret, I have a bit of a keeper from the Cuomo people who call me quite regularly. The guy calls me quite regularly, and I continually tell him, this is crazy. What is he doing? So maybe they're finally listening to me. I told them to stop beating up on the teachers, too, and they changed that. So in a way, you might assume I'm running the entire Cuomo press office.
It certainly does sound like that.
Yeah, don't hold your breath, but because you don't look good in blue.
We are going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll continue our conversation. We have letters. We have other topics. We have things to do, and we will do them when we return after this.
Support comes from The Blue Marble, a world of gifts, jewelry, handcrafts, American-made, fair trade at 191 North Pleasant Street in downtown Amherst, and Thorne's Marketplace in Northampton, theBlueMarble.biz. Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, presenting the Let's Eat exhibit and lecture series, exploring food culture, technology, and history, featuring A Taste of Upstate New York with author Chuck D'Imperio on Saturday, January 30th at 2 p.m., SchenectadyHistorical.org. And Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, interimhealthcare.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We haven't been playing Glenn Frey because we're going to have we have an obituary that we're going to air at 10:30 this morning. Glenn Frey, of course, a guitarist, singer, and songwriter who co-founded the Eagles, passed away yesterday at the age of 67. And another very sad story from the world of rock and roll and
yes.
from our collective childhoods.
Yes.
And
why do we always say passed away as opposed to died?
Well, let's get back to the real issue here, which is he died.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a euphemism. It's common.
Right.
I tend to use that a lot. I like passed or passed away.
Well, but yeah, no, I get it. But I think it's a nice thing for you to do because you're a nice guy. But I continue.
But
I, on the
this
other
is
hand,
a real loss.
Yes, it really it is.
Yeah.
And it is really a loss for
and
Ronald
our
collective childhoods, but also music in general. I mean, I can't really go to loud concerts anymore because my ears ring for days. That was the one concert I would still go to because I'd never seen them in concert.
The Eagles.
Yeah, and I love the Eagles. I just think their music's great.
Do you remember they kept asking the Eagles after they broke up if they would get back together, and they said, when hell freezes over.
Right, right.
And then they had the Hell Freezes Over tour.
Right.
And came to SPAC that year.
Right, and there was all the stuff about how, you know, the piano that they had to have at the concerts had to be never used before and had to be a certain way. But their music really spoke to a
generation. Well,
they were
very particular. I had not realized how particular they were. The New York Times story today talks about how they re-recorded the opening line of Lying Eyes several times.
Right.
It took hours to get it right because the first line is City Girls. They seemed to find out early, and they weren't saying the word city the way that Glenn Frey wanted it to be said. And, you know, that is a perfectionist. But the music was beautiful.
It was
hypnotic music. The lyrics, they put the lyrics to Hotel California in the Times just to illustrate the sort of mystic approach that he took to things.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
And there's this there's this one version, a live version of Hotel California, where there's this instrumental that leads in for about a minute, and nobody knows what it
and
is.
They break into
and
it.
Then they break into the original chords. It's just great. Great. I just love their music.
Roselle and I went to Greece once and stayed in the Hotel California.
Did you?
Yeah. Mm.
And did you ever leave? Because you know you can check in but never leave.
Well, there you go.
Right.
Mm. Nice place.
It's a
but
real
it was
loss.
California music, 70s, 80s.
It was folk rock. Yeah. It was really...
A little country.
Yeah, but more rock than country and with a real perspective. And
I found myself in Winslow, Arizona once.
Crowd at the corner?
Well, standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. And,
and was there a girl passing by?
Well, they have this, they have a whole, there's like a
shrine,
the building and everything. So we went like, I don't know, 30, 40 miles out of our way so I could go see this thing because I'm a geek with this stuff and I had to take a picture. Well, apparently the structure and the little shrine that they had burnt to the ground about like a week before.
It's because somebody was smoking.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Yeah. But hey.
He wrote that with Jackson Brown, there. I guess.
Yeah.
He wrote with Jackson Brown. He wrote with, it was just great.
Ian Pickus did a wonderful interview with Glenn Frey a bit ago, and we'll be rerunning that
that's terrific.
And doing an obituary coming up at 10:30 this morning. So that's, 10:35. So we'll make note of that. All right. We have one other issue to talk about, and then we'll finish up with letters. And that is we are getting more and more information about the sailors the sailors that were taken captive by Iran and then quickly released. The military released new details on Monday about how 10 Navy sailors were taken captive briefly by the Iranian Revolutionary Guards in the Persian Gulf last week. But it remains unclear how the sailors first ended up in Iranian territorial waters before their capture. The sailors were detained January 12th off Farsi Island as they were traveling in two command boats from Kuwait to Bahrain. That's according to U.S. military officials. The island is home to a closely guarded Iranian military base. The sailors were released the following morning. A defense official said the boats veered into Iranian waters first, and then one of them experienced a mechanical problem. In the statement Monday, military officials reiterated that the sailors are in good condition. The only equipment apparently taken from the boats are two digital SIM cards that were in two satellite phones, according to military officials.
Well, so we're really sort of in the dark. One could think, well, maybe this was some kind of spying mission. Maybe it was provocative. Or maybe there is a split within the Iranian establishment between the so-called Revolutionary Guards and, you know, and the Ayatollah and the more progressive element in Iran. And somebody's trying to make a mess of the whole thing. And Kerry got right on the phone and, you know, said what he had to say.
Well, it wasn't like the USS Pueblo, where North Korea took the USS Pueblo spy ship back in the 60s, I guess, kept them for more than a year. But the fact that they negotiated the turnaround so quickly, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but if you wanted to demonstrate how relations between the U.S. And Iran and the rest of the world have changed, you couldn't do it better than to have put this whole thing mm-hmm. on and planned it. You know, let them drift into waters and say, okay, and then let them go. It did make an enormous statement. I'm not saying that it was deliberate, but they couldn't have done something more effective than this was in demonstrating the change in the way that Iran is perceived.
Let's get some letters. And how many do you have letters?
Well, there are some letters. Yeah, there are. Nancy writes to us and says another musician's death. And says, Dallas Taylor, drummer for Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Young just died. That's from Nancy. Let's see here. And Emma says, I, like so many others who look to religion as a source of inspiration to be a kinder, more generous, and more compassionate person, are shocked by Trump's popularity. So with so-called evangelical Christians, perhaps many of these Trump supporters, especially the men, are just pretending to be the followers of Christ's teaching. Well, you know, we don't know that, right? I mean, we don't know what's in the hearts of man, I think.
Well, I don't know about that.
You do? You know what's in there?
Well, I think we have a good idea of what's in some people's hearts.
I don't know.
Through their rhetoric and what they say and how they act and how they want to put people in prison and keep their guns and...
Well, and there's Jim, who sometimes writes, and I don't always understand what he's saying. Alan, is there any chance you could place a call to Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, perhaps straighten them out a bit? Jim in Montgomery.
Okay. That's about your...
Thank you very much.
Your Cuomo comments.
I'll get... Oh, how's that?
Because you're now running the party.
Oh, I see. That's
Got
a
it?
Very good point.
Yes.
You think that's what it was meant here?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, interesting. Okay, maybe. And Michael says... The 19th district, covering so many counties, was this district gerrymandered by Democrats? Well, no, actually.
No,
the other way around.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right.
No, it actually had elected a Democrat. Her name was Kirsten Gillibrand a few years back, and they thought they had made that a safe Republican district. So they rewrote the boundaries. It is a safe Republican district.
Well, and let's remember that when they do these things, they often have Democratic districts. You're absolutely right. They have Republican districts. And then they have what are called fair fight districts. You know, they make a couple where anybody can win. Can you imagine? This is where the poor suckers have a chance to actually win. I think the 19th is a district where John Faso or if he's going to be the candidate or Teachout could win. I do.
Could go either way.
Some people think that that district can swing Democratic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's been rewritten since
it's got Ulster
Jill
County,
Brand was
right?
there.
Or no.
Yeah.
Does
yeah.
it have Ulster County?
Yeah.
Part of Ulster.
Well, I can tell you right now, I think if Teachout runs, she's got a very, very good chance of being elected.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you why. Because I think she has the same sort of appeal that a Donald Trump or a Bernie Sanders has. In other words, that these are people who are admired because they think outside the box. You know what I mean? What, you're making a signal. Did I say something wrong?
No. No, not at all.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
did.
You the people it? On the fringe. That's
yeah,
all.
So no, I think that, you know, people admire those who say, we can... do it, and we're not going to play the same old game everybody else plays.
We are just about out of time,
no.
But I want to. We have time for one more topic, which I don't know how much momentum is building here, but two prominent actors and a director have come out and said that they're going to boycott this year's Oscars. Jada Pinkett Smith and. Spike Lee have both said that they will boycott the Oscars because of the lack of diversity in the nominations. And I wonder how much of this is the beginning. Obviously, after the Oscars were announced, there was great fury by many. That said, which, by the way, has been a criticism not only of, well, it's been a criticism of Hollywood, it's been a criticism of the Oscars for a very long time.
Yes.
But let us not forget it's been a criticism in Hollywood and in television for a very long time. So It will see. We'll see whether how much this. How much momentum this gains with other prominent actors saying that they will boycott the ceremony.
So let me see if I get this straight, Joe, because you know all about this stuff. I don't know anything about it. But is the head of the motion picture group...
She's an African-American woman.
She's African-American, right?
However...
Only 2% of the Academy.
I am not done with my question
yet.
There's a semicolon there.
Yes.
And then the next thing, the next part of that question is who's the MC this year? Kid Rock? Is that who?
Chris Rock. Right.
And have any African-Americans been awarded... Academy Awards over the years? Yes, they certainly have, and there's a long list in the paper.
But if you look at the number of films,
you're on very, very thin ice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not being PC enough.
Well, yeah. the fact is that the Academy voters are 94% white. There's 2% are black,
so,
and less than 2% are Latino.
And so, Cheryl Boone, who is the head of the Oscars, has said that she will take action to alter the makeup of their membership. But I think it is within those acting categories. I believe in all categories, there was only one African American who was nominated, I believe.
This year, you mean?
In all of the categories.
This year.
Yes, but it's never been.
It's never been.
But it's never been. And quite frankly, and I don't, talk about getting letters, but. I don't believe it's also what they've been nominated for. And I think in the last few years, if it hasn't been a movie about slavery,
or being a maid in the South,
that hasn't been nominated. And I think so the topic has a lot to do with it as well.
Right. Everyone thought Straight Outta Compton was going to get nominated, and it didn't.
Right.
Instead, Mad Max.
We are out of time. We will be back and continue our program after this short break.